And now, from the legendary 77 WABC radio studios in the center of the universe, New York City, it's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett with the Robbio Radio Players. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Everybody, welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. Back again, another Saturday night here in New York City. How's everybody doing?
Oh, great.
Well, give me some details. What did you do this past week? Anything exciting? And Mandy, I can just see from the look in Mandy's face, you have a story.
I just don't want to be a hog. I always
But your stories always have very valid points. So
I was in Florida during the hurricane, but I was not on the side of the hurricane. However, I was in Fort Lauderdale, and there was a warning for red tide, and I was on the beach. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anybody else in the water, but I was like, oh, it must be fine. So I went swimming in the red tide this week.
And for those in our radio listening audience who aren't familiar with what a red tide is, what would you say?
It's toxic. So that's what they I would have felt the effects within an hour, I guess, if it were to have affected me, and it did not.
But you know what's going to wind up happening now?
I'm going to turn into a mutant.
You're going to get like superpowers.
I hope so. That was my plan.
You're going to be like Mermaid Woman or something. You're going to have, it'd probably be better than Aquaman, because all he does is, you know, swim fast and talk to fish.
So I'd love that.
You'd be a great Mermaid Woman.
I think so.
Little M on your chest and little fins on your ankles. And Whitney, how about you? Anything exciting with you? Or
I don't know if it's exciting. I just was deciding if I should go and see the new Halloween movie, because it's the only thing that I'm actually freaking scared of in real life, Michael Myers.
Seriously? The only thing?
I like to say it's my second most legitimate fear, Michael Myers.
And what is your first?
It's personal, about my mom.
Oh, okay.
It's a little too heavy for the...
Can I tell you something? I think I actually have that same thing.
Really?
I'm afraid of your mom, too.
You should be.
Steve, you have quite a little story to share.
I guess I do.
How did you spend your week?
I got dental work done in Costa Rica.
You went to Costa Rica for dental work?
You know, it's actually much more popular than I ever thought to have medical procedures done down there. And with, I mean, incredible doctors. And not only that, but I know it's ridiculous, but the place that I stayed, they have 24/7 post-op care for people who have surgical procedures. They have nurses on staff, 3 meals a day, beautiful view.
So it's a hotel hospital, basically.
It was the best.
And you didn't wake up in a bathtub filled with ice with a kidney missing. That's the thing that I find the most remarkable.
I got paid for that. I got 20 grand for a kidney. Medical Costa Rica, everybody. Go for it.
My friend went to Costa Rica to get medical procedure, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. God almighty. Did you hear that Will Smith is going to be the genie in the Disney live-action?
No.
Will Smith, ladies and gentlemen. And apparently, he almost got killed by bungee jumping off a helicopter.
He almost got killed?
That's what I heard, right? Isn't that true?
I watched it. It didn't look that... I mean, he looked like he was having a blast.
Now, you're bungee jumping, first of all. Okay. Yeah. You're putting your life in the hands of the guy who tied the knot, right?
Right.
But off a helicopter?
Into the Grand Canyon.
Now, you know, if you know anything about physics, he's going to be going down, and then the pull on that, you rock a helicopter slightly to one side.
I'm sure he's wealthy enough to pay a good pilot.
I'm not, which is why I'm not going to be bungee jumping anytime soon. Needless to say, off a helicopter, no less. Let's introduce the Robbio Radio Players, a ragtag group of wackadoos. My co-writer, formerly head writer of Saturday Night Live, television screenplays, and writer of books, Mr. Andrew Smith.
Yay. Yeah. Hooray.
A musical theater actress and a woman among whose myriad characters include a bubble-headed ingenue, a bubble-headed nurse in a rest home, a bubble-headed Ozark woman, and a Brooklyn hitter chick who works on the Death Star. There's your little left turn. Miss Mandy Lee Thompson.
Yay.
actor, singer, composer, music producer, recording engineer, who obtained his Boy Scout Dental Merit Badge in one day in Costa Rica, Mr. Steve Mecca. New York theater actress, writer, producer, filmmaker, and just a generally delightful human being who is afraid of Michael Myers and my mother for some reason. I don't know why. The beautiful and talented Ms. Whitney Johnson.
Yay.
And, of course, the CEO of the Robbio Radio Players, actor, singer, writer, voice over artist, the wickedly funny Ms. Megan Simard. And tonight, we're very happy. Our special guest, for 17 years, he was the warm-up comedian on The Late Show with David Letterman. 11 of those years, he was the stand-up comedy talent coordinator. He's the current director of the Great American Comedy Festival. He's done acting roles on Louie and a movie, 30 Years to Life, with Tracy Morgan. But here's the credit I found most impressive. At one time, he was the humor consultant for Reader's Digest magazine.
Oh, wow.
So he was the guy who chose the jokes for The Amusing Anecdotes and Humor in Uniform and Life in These United States features. I'm in awe. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Eddie Brill.
Yay! Hooray! Thank you.
It's great for you to join us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, Reader's Digest, you know, I just fell into that whole situation. They did a joke contest, and they asked me to be the judge, and Jeff Ross was going to be the host.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff broke his hip. He was like a 30-year-old guy who lived like a 70-year-old guy.
I don't mean to laugh, but
I laughed, and I got the job as the host, and then I started working with them, and they were at, and they showed me their humor magazine, and they actually pretty good. I was surprised. It's
really
Reader's Digest is pretty much, you know, pharmaceutical ads and you know, stories that are, you know, tug your heartstrings. But once a year they do a comedy magazine, and it's pretty funny. And but what they had me do was work with St. Jude's and book shows, and we booked some of the best comics in the world to raise money for St. Jude's. So that was mostly, or I'd write articles or up and coming comic stuff, and so that's what I pretty much did there.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was great.
You'd never know.
Right.
Now,
I didn't.
Now, warm-up comedian.
Yes.
Now, people out there may not exactly know what a warm-up comedian does. What was your job as warm-up comedian for Late Night with David Letterman?
Well, every show has a warm-up comedian. And when I was living in L.A., an Emerson graduate was the associate producer of Saved by the Bell.
Oh.
Now, I was making, you know, $20 a night at the Comedy Store, just barely surviving. And he offered me a job, $1,000 a week, to warm up Saved by the Bell. Now, it was awful in every way, because it was babysitting, and it was, you know, it wasn't really a fun job, but it was great money, and it was across the hall from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, which was literally 6 feet from The Tonight Show, which was very exciting. And I got to meet nice people, but
Screech.
Screech, and nice people as well. And I was a kid, you know, everyone was, they were young kids, and they were nice enough. But it started getting me in the jobs. And then I worked at the Dana Carvey Show as the warm-up. And then the people who worked there were working at Letterman, and they recommended me when Letterman needed a warm-up. And pretty much I'm the, you know, it's like, the way, best way to describe it is you're, a car is cold in the winter, and you get someone to get in the car and warm it up for you, mm-hmm. so that the person who owns the car can drive off. So my job was to really get the audience in, you know, ready to go for Dave. And I knew him so well and what he wanted and how he needed the audience to be, and was able to set it up for him, because it wasn't like a woo-woo kind of a setup. It was more like he was very intelligent, and he also liked, you know, it was a combination of intelligence and silliness, and that's what I did to get them ready for Dave.
So how then did you parlay that into being the stand-up comedy talent coordinator?
Well, I got close to him the first year in. I was able to come to the desk in every commercial break, and we go over, you know, different segments, and we start talking about stand-ups, and he loved stand-up, was a stand-up. And little by little, the one time, Zoe Friedman, the great Zoe Friedman, who got an incredible job at Comedy Central, was with the booker, and they needed a booker, and he said, how about you do it? And I said, huh? I says, you know, it's pretty, all these people are going to want to be on the show, thousands of people. Mm-hmm. He goes, who cares? Do it. So I ended up doing it, and I did that for 11 years. It was
11
years. Pretty great.
I did the David Letterman show the first year when he was on
NBC. Right.
That summer, the first summer, and did not have the greatest experience.
Really?
On my first network, yeah.
Did you do a set?
I did a set. I actually did a set. But what happened was, somebody had canceled. I got the call on a Monday, you know, from Bob Morton, you know, want to have you come down, and, you know, and we'll work on the 6 minutes and yada, yada, yada. Because you're supposed to, I don't know, how many weeks you're supposed to work on your sets before you...
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes, I was once on the show and they said, Eddie, the guest is not making it, can you go on?
Really?
Yeah.
See, well, that's pretty much what happened to me. Somebody dropped out, and the next day they called me and wanted to know if I could
do
it.
Yeah.
So I was on with Fran Lebowitz, the author.
Yeah, she's great.
And surfer Jerry Lopez. He was the other guest. And I only imagine who the person was who bailed, allowing me to do the show. I didn't, you know, early on in my career, I was going to be getting married the next month. I didn't have a suit. So I got the tuxedo that I was going to rent for my wedding, and I wore that, and hoping that I can parlay it into a free tuxedo when it came time for the wedding, which never happened. And I wore sneakers because I thought that was really hip, you know, a tuxedo and sneakers. And because they hadn't really seen my act, I had to do my act in the hallway for the network censor. And he took out, I don't know, 2-3 minutes of my act that wasn't television friendly, or that their standards and practices wouldn't allow. And I think it was I used to do a bit called Dogs at a Cocktail Party, and one of them was a cat on Quaaludes at a cocktail party. No, I can't do that. So they took about 2-3 minutes out of my act. So I go on, I do it. And, you know, in those days, your first shot, you would never get panel. You'd do your set, he'd say your name again, they go to commercial, end of show. Well, I was short by 2.5 minutes. And so the director just starts waving me over to the couch, and I go to walk over to the couch, and the look on Dave's face was like, I'm not ready for this. Who is this? Who is it? He sat down, and I sat down next to him, and he said, "So this comedy thing is gonna be it's gonna be a full time thing for you."
Oh my god!
It said, "Yeah." So what'd you do before you were a comedian? I said, "Well, you know, I was a janitor, and I ran an elevator." And as the words were coming out of my mouth, I said, "You know, I worked in elevators, a lot of ups and downs, and you wanted to just like suck the words back in." And then we went to commercial. He didn't say two words to me during the commercial, and that was it. It was really, I just...
He probably wasn't, it had nothing to do with you, it was the surprise that the producers didn't warn them that you were going to come over.
Well, since then, I mean, I did the show, right, when we were doing How to Succeed. We did a number from How to Succeed on the show.
I was there for that.
He couldn't be warmer. He couldn't be nicer.
He was very warm and loved stand-ups and nurtured them. But, you know, if something happened outside of it, it would throw him off. And, right. You know, that's why I believe.
And I always thought he was better than, you know, Jay Leno, but we're not going to get into that right now. We like to consider ourselves a smart show, Eddie, just so you know. One of the things we're most proud of is our being on Saturday nights. WABC has some really smart weekend programming. A lot of doctors. Dr. Lederman, Dr. Katz, Dr. Calipi, Dr. Greenberg, Dr. Perry, Dr. Hickey, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. We are delighted to have a new sponsor who will hopefully get his own show here on 77 WABC for his brand new health supplement, Vita Earth. Do you feel tired, run down, and lethargic all the time? Do you suffer from loss of appetite, night blindness, depression, osteoporosis, muscle cramps, coarse hair, brittle nails, heart palpitations, headaches, or dizziness? Well, what would you say if I told you that the answer to all your health problems could be under your fingernails or on the bottom of your shoe? Hi, I'm Dr. David Del Sporco, creator of Vita Earth Total Health Supplement, the world's first all-natural, completely pure and organic way to get the essential vitamins and minerals your body needs. Most of us just don't get the recommended daily requirements of iron, zinc, calcium, or B12, but they're the greatest, most easily sourced essential elements on the planet. Why? Because the planet is made up of them in one of the most common substances available to human beings. Vita Earth is the simplest, most natural way to get all the essential minerals in one easy-to-swallow capsule.
I had awful atopic dermatitis, eczema on my cheeks and forehead that made me look like somebody had taken a belt sander to my face. My doctor said I had a severe zinc deficiency. But after just one bottle of Vita Earth, my complexion is as clear and smooth as a baby's butt.
I had awful bowed legs. I couldn't walk in a straight line. I was like a cowboy whose horse ran away right out from under him. When I stood still, I looked like a parenthesis. Then, a friend of mine suggested I start the Vita Earth supplement program. And I'm still bow-legged, but my appetite improved to the point where my legs are so fat, they're much closer together now. Thanks, Vita Earth.
I'm not a medical doctor, but I do have a PhD in recreation and leisure studies. So I spend a lot of time outdoors, and it's there where I discovered a sustainable, natural source of vitamins and minerals that I put in capsule form to create a simple and easy way for you to ensure you've got what your body needs.
I was so depressed. Some days I could barely get out of bed. My doctor said I wasn't getting enough calcium in my diet, but I'm lactose intolerant, so no milk, cheese, or ice cream for me, which was one of the reasons why I think I was so depressed in the first place. But after just 2 weeks of taking Vita Earth capsules, I look forward to every day as the God-given gift it is. Praise Vita Earth!
I used to be tired all the time. I'd find myself nodding off 5 or 6 times a day, which, needless to say, interfered with my job as a bus driver. My doctor said I had iron poor blood. I saw a commercial for Vita Earth capsules, so I ordered a bottle, and now I have more energy than ever before. I don't doze off at all anymore, and I only sleep 2 hours a night.
Taking Vita Earth every day also has a proactive, protective effect, working to shield your body against parasites, pathogens, and plant toxins. And as the natural source where we get the ingredients for the capsules has an abundance of earthworms, you also get the added benefit of trace amounts of protein.
The key to good health is right under your feet.
Everything we eat basically comes out of the ground or walks or flies or swims on top of it. So why not just cut out the middleman and go right to the source? The Earth is over 4 billion years old. It must be doing something right.
What is this remarkable, life-giving new substance? Dirt! That's right. Call today and order a 30-day supply of Vita Earth. I'm so convinced you'll be satisfied with the positive effects it will have to your health, I'm offering a money-back guarantee. Take it for a month, and if you're not 100% happy with the results, just send back the empty bottle, and I'll refund your money, except for a small processing and restocking fee, because Vita Earth is manufactured right here in the United States and not some third-world country where I can pay the workers 10 cents an hour. And so, you know, I have to provide benefits, you know, to the employees, health care, pension, maternity leave. It adds up. But if you order now, I'll also send you a free bottle of Vita Sand, the easiest, most organic way to get the fiber your body needs.
Order today. Call 1-800-EAT-DIRT.
You know what the best part is about Vita Earth? I get all the free bottles I want because they're a sponsor. I'll be bringing them with me to the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut next Saturday night. 1 week from tonight, Saturday, October 27th. And I'll be at the new My Father's Place at the Roslyn Hotel on November 24th. Tickets are going fast. We'll be back with more of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour with our special guest, Mr. Eddie Brill, and a very special appearance by Sir Paul McCartney. That's right. You heard me correctly.
Wow.
The cute Beatle right here on 77 WABC. Get in on the action. That's what she said. Visit mybookie.net's website today and use promo Bartlett, B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T, to get a 100% sign-up bonus. Mybookie.net. That's bookie, not boogie. An entirely different thing. Use promo code Bartlett, B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T, for a 100% bonus. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply for entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited. Back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. It's an hour. It's just an hour. I just want to remind you, I'm back on the road with my stand-up act. I'm at the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut, this coming Saturday night. Go to sevenangelstheater.org for tickets. Don't forget to spell theater with the R-E instead of the E-R at the end, because it's a classy joint. We're here with our special guest, Mr. Eddie Brill. And later this episode, I don't know what to say. I'm just thrilled beyond belief to have my personal idol. I don't know how he did this. Hopeless Beatlemaniac that I am, Sir Paul McCartney, will be with us. So don't go away, because this is a very, very special episode indeed. Now, we've been very lucky to have a woman who has the gift of identifying information hidden from the normal senses. A telepathic clairvoyant who makes observations and predictions that are inexplicable. You can't explain them by natural law. Or say them.
They're not explicable. Definitely not explicable.
But she is truly uncanny in her insights. And apparently she's branching out into a new area of psychic interpretation. So if you would please welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, the one and only mysterious, all-seeing Miss Winnie.
Yeah.
Wagwan, wagwan. I am Miss Winnie, and all you have to do is to provide me with one detail, and me open up a whole world of information for you.
Welcome back, Miss Winnie. I heard you have a new area of psychic exploration now.
That's right, Jumbo Boy. I see that you're still going down the path of overindulgence. You overindulging everything but the payment.
What?
You owe me $20. Pay up, Mr. Crisco.
Crisco?
Yeah, because you're fat in the can.
I get it. Yeah, okay. All right, well, only because you agreed to come to the show again here. Now, what have you got for us today?
At present, Miss Winnie into a whole new area of psychic exploration. Miss Winnie now certified pet psychic. Just give me one detail and I open up a whole world of information for you about your pet. Give me a bone, a chew toy, a collar. I feel the vibration and tell you just what your pet be thinking. I know everything there is to know about the animals.
Well, that's incredible. Our own Mandy, Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson, she has a dog. Mandy, would you like to get Hufflepuff a psychic reading by Miss Winnie?
Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff. He's named after one of the houses from the Harry Potter books.
You've been naming the dog after a house.
Yes.
I will never understand the white people. Okay, well, so long as he housebroken. Well, what you want to know about Husky Pup?
Hufflepuff.
That's what I said.
Well, when I'm not home, he always chews my furniture.
Okay, one thing. One thing is all I need. One thing from Huffypuff, and I will tell all.
Hufflepuff. Well, here's his favorite chew toy.
That not the thing Miss Winnie looking for. In the case of pet with no bank account, Miss Winnie need a $20 bill from owner. Only $20 will open up Ruffleflux's entire world.
Hufflepuff. Okay, here's $20.
Miss Winnie getting the message now.
Oh, tell me, is he happy? And why does he chew my furniture?
Ruffy Husk very upset about the veterinarian.
The vet? But that was ages ago. Hufflepuff hasn't seen the vet since...
Humble Poof have long memory when it come to something he love.
But I thought he loved the vet.
He loved the balls more. He not like being fixed, neuter, a no-no in dog world.
Oh, dear. Will he ever forgive me?
Miss Winnie can't make that determination without Mr. Green.
Mr. Green? I don't... You mean you need more money?
It's not the money. It's the pathway to the animal world.
Miss Winnie, I think you're making this up.
One thing. Give me one thing, and I tell you everything you want to know about what the dog be thinking.
One thing?
Or 20 things.
You mean $20.
Thank you. 20 is good. Miss Winnie getting the message loud and clear now from Hockey Puck.
Hufflepuff! What? What is it? What is my dog thinking? What does he want?
He want to go out. He say bring a plastic glove.
What? He wants to go out?
The nature calls. Very important. That the secret message Miss Winnie getting now.
I just gave you $40 and all you could tell me was that my dog Hufflepuff needs to be walked?
Miss Winnie not making it up. Miss Winnie, the pet psychic. But me thinking you better make it snappy getting back to your apartment. Me seeing big mess in your future.
Oh, I'm not worried. He's house trained.
Yeah, but while you're gone, he be eating that leftover Taco Bell you be leaving on the kitchen counter.
No, I'm sure he put it back in the refri... Oh, no. Rob, I gotta go back to Waterbury.
And you should have closed the bathroom door. Him drinking at the toilet and he don't have that strong a bladder?
Miss Winnie, everybody. She'll be back with us again next week.
Not unless you be changing the not paying your guest policy. This not Miss Winnie hobby. This her livelihood.
I know that.
That and she selling the Amway. You need laundry detergent, dish cleaner.
No, I'm good.
How about appetite suppressant? You could do to lose about 180 pound gigantor.
One more time for Miss Winnie.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know why. I actually pay for these people to come in and call me fat. I don't know. I'm going to have to go to another psychic to figure out what the hell my problem is. But one of the signature pieces we have here on the Radio Comedy Hour is the recurring serial segment. We started at the very beginning with a couple of reality murder mystery stories, kind of a Dateline parody called Death Can Kill. One was a murder in a New Jersey town that involved dental hygiene and pancakes, and the other was a serial murder at an Elvis impersonator convention in Vegas. This week, we start another continuing series of Death Can Kill episodes set in the colorful world of the circus. So here is the first installment of Death Can Kill, the deadliest show on earth. The Bilbo Brothers Circus was a mid-sized tent show that traveled the Midwest in the summers and wintered in Gibsonton, Florida during the off-season. It was a close-knit group of dedicated carnies, most of whom had grown up in the circus community, dated within the group, married and raised families while on the road with the show. Carny people are suspicious of outsiders, just as outsiders are mistrustful and deeply disparaging of all carnies. So when Wiggles the Clown was found drowned in his own seltzer, this tight-knit circus family was rocked to the core. They all seemed to wonder, who would want to murder Wiggles? Among those shocked and confused by the tragedy was Joni Zamboni, one of the Flying Zamboni's trapeze act.
Who would want to murder Wiggles? Wiggles took his adversity and turned it into something good. He made people laugh with him instead of at him. At least that's what he thought. Poor guy was prone to seizures. That's where he got the name. But he got his biggest laughs whenever he'd have one. One of the other clowns would run over with a wooden spoon and stick it in his mouth. People thought it was a part of the act. It killed. And then someone killed him.
Wiggles' lifeless, red-nosed, floppy-shoed body was found by Dmitry Misnetsky, the human cannonball. Hello?
Oh, did you say something?
I'm sorry. I forgot you're hard of hearing.
You'll have to speak up. I am a little hard of hearing.
I know. I just said that.
You don't get that?
No, we got that. We want you to tell us about how you found Wiggles.
Oh, it was horrible. The seltzer had made his makeup run so it looked like his face was melting. I'm not one of those who are scared by clowns. I mean, I work for a circus. How could I? But looking like that, Wiggles' face could stop a clock. Hell, it could have stopped a sundial.
Misnetsky immediately called the police after he determined that Wiggles wasn't just doing another one of his bits. Sergeant Diane Hooper of the Elkhart, Indiana Police Force came down to the park where the circus had set up their tents.
We don't get many homicides in Elkhart. I mean, we're the home of the RV Hall of Fame, don't you know? I realize that doesn't have anything to do with this case, but if you happen to be in the area, they got some Airstreams there that'll blow your mind. All shiny and big, fully customized. Some of them even got hot tubs on them. Oh, yeah. Right. The dead body. Didn't take long for me to surmise that this Mr. Wiggles fellow had definitely been murdered with his own seltzer. Heck of a way to go, if you ask me.
Soon the whole sideshow was abuzz with the horrible news. Everyone from Hugo, the armless knife thrower, to the two-headed Nightingales, Siamese twins Daisy and Maisie Nightingale.
We're Burmese twins, actually. There's a difference.
What's that?
I don't know, but there is.
We couldn't believe it. Wiggles was the nicest guy in the world. Wouldn't hurt a flea. Well, maybe, but only if it would get a laugh. But really and truly, he was the nicest guy in the world. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I had a crush on him. Most women did.
I didn't.
That's because you're having an affair with Rodolfo.
It's not an affair. We're going to be married.
No, we're not.
Oh, yeah? How's that going to work out? We're a matched set. Wherever you go, I go, as it is. I can't get any sleep the way the two of you are going at it every night like a couple of rabbits.
The Bilbo Brothers Circus was so self-contained, Sergeant Hooper concluded that the murderer had to be one of the performers. Everyone was a suspect. Even Rudolfo, the tightrope walker.
High wire aerialist! I am not a mere tightrope walker. I am the greatest high wire aerialist in the world! I told that to the police when they made a mistake of questioning me. Me, Rudolfo! I have walked across the Grand Canyon. Not on a wire. My car broke down. I was forced to walk nearly 5 miles to gas station. I face death like that every day. I work without a net. I used to, but she got to be too expensive, so I had to let her go. The point is, why would I jeopardize my career by killing a clown? Clowns are nothing. They do nothing. They wear silly shoes and too much lipstick. I hate the clown act in the show, especially when it comes before Rudolfo and not after. I hate to follow the clown, make the ring a mess with all the shaving cream pie and colored handkerchiefs and confetti and all that.
Everything pointed to the fact that the murderer, whoever he or she was, obviously knew this Wiggles. But this Rudolfo guy seemed to have a real grudge against that clown. He gave me the creeps. He had really oily hair.
It's a pomade! It's on my trademark, the shiny head!
Sergeant Hooper thought it would be best to shut down the circus while the investigation was still taking place, much to the protestations of its owner, Herman Bilbo.
What could I do? My hands were tied, and it wasn't because I volunteered to do the escape act with Kendall the Magician. I respected Wiggles, and I think he would have wanted the show to go on. We held a funeral for him. During a show, right in the middle of the second ring, hearse pulled in, 50 clowns climbed out, all pallbearers. There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
But something didn't add up. I was intrigued by this whole thing where women are turned on by clowns.
I'm telling you, the pail with the confetti, the tiny fire engine, he'd ride around the ring. It really got my motor going.
Oh, I had sex with him once on the trapeze. He's into those kind of kinky things, but we never did it again. He'd never take off those floppy shoes.
Wiggles the Clown's sex life became part of the investigation, but Sergeant Hooper knew she was in over her head, so she called in a sex crime expert from Indianapolis, Dr. George Zeitzberger.
I have worked with clowns before. They're not all that communicative, but I found a way to get through to them, get down to their level. I mean, I would allow them to bring the horn into the sessions. One honk meant yes, and two honks meant no, and 12 honks meant the clown was probably having a seizure.
Dr. Zeitzberger proved to be no help at all, but then came a horrible development. Gunther the Great, the lion tamer, had been practicing with his prized African lion, Damba. The finale to his act would be when he placed his head in Damba's mouth.
It was awful. There was Gunther's headless body, just sitting on his stool, holding his whip. Damba was chewing, and then burped.
It appeared that Gunther the Great had been decapitated by Damba. Was it an accident, or was it murder?
Murder? That's ridiculous. It most certainly was an accident. Damba wouldn't hurt a fly. And believe me, I should know. His cage was always lousy with flies.
You sure they were from the lion? Because, you know, sometimes you forget to use underarm deodorant on your side.
Sergeant Hooper wasn't so sure about the whole accident thing.
It wasn't no accident. Somebody chopped off the lion tamer's head and fed it to the lion.
So what? He's a lion. He's supposed to be a vegetarian?
Two dead bodies in 2 days. This was turning into a circus. It already was a circus, but now it was a death circus.
Next time on Death Can Kill.
In the middle of a performance, Tony Zamboni, one of the Flying Zamboni's trapeze act, plummeted to the tent floor. His trapeze bar had been greased. I had sent it back to the lab for testing because it smelled remarkably like the hair oil that Rudolfo the tightrope walker used for his trademark look.
It's not hair oil, it's a pomade, and I am an aerialist.
On the next Death Can Kill, the deadliest show on Earth. Wow, so much intrigue.
Oh boy.
You know, I'm really glad it's taking place in a small mom-and-pop circus and not one of those big spectacle things where it's mostly Vegas showgirls prancing around. I mean, I want elephants and acrobats and tightrope walkers. Aerialist! Oh, right, Ariel. Sorry. Well, we're going to have to take a short break, but don't go away. We have some big news to share with you. And it's not just that I'll be going back to my roots, appearing at the new My Father's Place at the Roslyn Hotel.
Woo.
That's right. The iconic Long Island Club is back. And the legendary Epi Epstein is as well. It's a Thanksgiving weekend show, November 24th. It'll be the only chance for you to see the perennial holiday classic, Salmonella's Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn. So come down to My Father's Place Thanksgiving weekend and celebrate the holidays with some big-time Robbie O'Yucks and our good friend Eddie Brill is going to be at Zany's in Chicago on October 21st through the 28th with your son, Dan?
Yeah.
A father-son show?
Yeah. He's been doing stand-up now for 11 years, and he's pretty darn good at it. Actor doing just the Tarantino film, and we're doing stand-up together again in Chicago.
That's amazing. That's just so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, my kids are all doing much, much better with their lives than me, so they would never do it. But also remember, guys, the big news is you should stick around because after the break, we're going to be joined by the one, the only, Sir Paul McCartney. Coming up next on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC. Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour here with Whitney and Mandy and Megan and Steve and Andrew and our special guest, Eddie Brill. We have coming up just in a few minutes, Sir Paul McCartney will be stopping by. But Eddie, you've actually met him before.
It's ridiculous. He was going to be on Letterman, and Letterman's a huge Beatle nut. You know, it was great having Paul Schaefer there. You would always think of, you know, ask the band to play great Beatles songs, mm-hmm. Will Lee, you know, with his Fab Four. And so the day before, Letterman's like, what should I ask Paul? You know, do you have any ideas? And I said, the week before Michael Jackson had passed, and my first thought was, what's going to happen to the Beatle music that Michael Jackson has? He goes, oh, great, okay. So the next day, you know, they set up a card with Michael Jackson's photo and everything, and the first segment goes by, McCartney and Letterman talk, and they don't bring that up. So Letterman gets up to go talk to the executive producers. I'm at the desk. It's me and McCartney. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, eh. So I give him a head nod. He gives me a head nod back. So I walk over. And I just say, you know, I was wondering about the Michael Jackson stuff. He goes, oh, yeah, the Michael. I was going to try. But I'm not. He says, I was wondering, too. And I looked it up. And I think we get it eventually. And it was just great to just talking to him. And we had like 3 or 4 minutes of chat. And then I walk back. And then the next segment. So Letterman goes, so how about the Michael Jackson stuff? And he was ready for it because him and I talked about it. So now it was one of the greatest conversations, and it was talked about in magazines and newspapers all over the world, how that whole Michael Jackson section was. It was all really important. So now I'm freaking out. And then, you know, I was freaking out. Now I'm double freak. So now we go to the marquee because McCartney's going to be on the marquee. And I'm up on the marquee with McCartney and hanging out over there.
He's playing on top of the marquee.
Right.
The Sullivan Theater.
And then so he plays a couple of songs, and I know that he's going to do another whole section. It's like a million people on the street. So I walk downstairs, and I watch this extra section that they do from downstairs, and it's just I can't believe that. I met this Beatle, talked to him, set the segment up, all that, and then I get in a cab to go home, and I shook like a leaf because I realized, oh my God, I just had a thing with McCartney. While it was happening, he was like, yeah, so anyway, McCartney, you know, and but after it was like, ah, help! And it was one of the greatest days of my life. Yeah, amazing.
I am so jealous. If I ever...
It happened to me, and I'm jealous. You know, that's how good it was.
You're jealous of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn him.
Yeah.
Me.
I would tug a nugget. Well, I mean, oh, I wonder who could that be at the door?
Yeah.
Hello, how are you? It's me, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the cute one, Paul McCartney. That's right, you know, Beatles and all that. I'm married to an American now, you know, from New Jersey, if you can believe it. But at least this one's got a leg to stand on. Well, we live in Long Island's East End, Demogansett, and it's a very artsy community and made me want to explore my horizons as an artist. So I've opened a state-of-the-art theater where you can see me live this summer, acting in some plays and stuff.
the Paul McCartney Dinner Theater, where you can see classics of the stage and dine on a 5-course gourmet vegan dinner. This week, Paul McCartney is Alexander Hamilton in Hamilton.
I'm going to get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I amaze and astonish. Problem is, I got a lot of brains, but no polish. I got a holler just to be heard with every word I drop knowledge. I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I am not throwing away my shot.
With TV's Perry Mason and star of Ironside's Raymond Burr as Aaron Burr.
Alexander?
Aaron Burr, sir.
Can we agree that duels are dumb and immature?
Sure, but your man has to answer for his words, Burr.
With his life? We both know that's absurd, sir.
Hang on, how many men died because Lee was inexperienced and ruinous?
Okay, so we're doing this.
What does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore, have in common with a downtrodden poor boy who wanted more? From the shores of old Liverpool, he was nobody's fool. Too cool for school, he wound up breaking all the rules.
Never second, a living legend, hit after hit he did, again and again and a, not a faker, a money maker, a mover and a shaker and a certified record breaker.
After the Beatles, he soared like an eagle. With his band Wings, he proved he'd never ever be dull. Songs for the people, some dismissed as treacle, but their attempt at criticism's nothing more than feeble.
Hey Jew, let it be, here, there, and everywhere. Band on the run, my love, I saw her standing there. Long and winding road, yesterday, so debonair. What is the name of this prolific music billionaire? Not Alexander Hamilton.
Hamilton never did more than McCartney's done.
Yeah, how many songs has he written?
How does he write a musical?
None, that's how many.
Alexander Hamilton.
So where's the poor musical?
Alexander Hamilton.
Is one about the Four Seasons, Carol King, or
never
something?
Never did more than McCartney's done.
There's even one with Go-Go's music.
How does he write a musical?
And Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis.
Alexander Hamilton.
It's not fair. I deserve a musical.
Alexander Hamilton.
I mean, I'm a bloody knight.
Never did more than McCartney's done.
Let's serve McCartney to you.
How does he write a musical?
And I own the publishing rights to every song ever recorded.
Alexander Hamilton.
Happy birthday, mine. Think he's a jolly good fellow.
Alexander
mine.
Hamilton.
You know, Sergeant Pepper was my idea.
Never
was
did
chance.
More than McCartney's done.
And I was the walrus. John said so.
How does he write a musical?
I didn't break up the Beatles.
Alexander Hamilton.
It was Yoko.
Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah. The Paul McCartney Dinner Theater.
A splendid time is guaranteed for all.
Yay. Now, I know that music sounds familiar, but for those of you who listen to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, but we paid so much to record it, we're going to get as much use out of it as we can. So be on the lookout for, you know, Christopher Walken does Hamilton at some point in the future, because, you know, we have limited resources, but we still think it's worth it.
You know, you had me going there. I was actually excited to meet Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah, well, I probably should have been more forthcoming and tell you he was just on tape.
Yeah. Tape. Good one, Robbio.
Well, that about just does
By the way, your Paul is much better than your Yoko.
Thanks. Thanks, Whitney. I really appreciate it. I guess that about does it for us this week. I'd like to thank our special guest, Mr. Eddie Brill.
I had fun.
And you all, of course, for tuning in next week. Each week, because next week there'll be another show, and then that way we'll be thankful for you tuning in on that one. Remember, if you missed anything, if you missed any part of this program or would like to hear it again or share it with friends, go to the OGPodcastNetwork.com right now, and you can download it. Download tonight's show. It's waiting there for you to give you amusement. And I think, there it is. It's always, the music signifies it's the end of another great show, everybody.
Hooray!
Thanks, Eddie Brill. Our program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett. Written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, featuring Megan Simard, Andrew Smith, Mandy Lee Thompson, Steve Mecca, Whitney Johnson, and me, Rob Bartlett. Special thanks to Sir Paul McCartney. Yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Original music composed by Gary Grant and Steve Mecca. Engineering by Steve Mecca. Directed by Gary Grant. No animals were harmed in the recording of this program. Don't forget, come see me this coming Saturday night at Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. And then next month, Thanksgiving weekend, at the new My Father's Place at the Roslyn Hotel. I'll see you next week, everybody, for another episode of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC. Yeah.